Clearly, the backdrop behind our message this morning is a shooting in a Walmart in El Paso, Texas, and a shooting in a bar in Dayton, Ohio. 29 people have died. 26, 20, maybe 30 plus others have been wounded. At least in the case of El Paso, a young Caucasian man feeling afraid of Latinos making a difference in this next election sought to take things into his own hands. And so what does this mean for us? It means life is short, the world is increasingly dangerous, and even in a place like El Paso, Texas, where people have felt safe, I think there were only 5 murders in El Paso, Texas in the past year. Even in a place like that, a lone gunman can disrupt the lives of countless families, a city, a state, and a nation. And I think it is absolutely vital that you and I gather here and learn again about finding peace with God. This is a complicated matter, but somehow I believe with all my heart that it is in finding peace with God, and only in finding peace with God, that any of this will be solved and settled. Truth is, this world needs peace. This world needs God's peace. People who are threatened by this world need peace. People who believe there is no way to solve anything except through violence, they need peace. People who are victims of violent gunmen, they need peace. Those who are watching our TV screens in shock that this has happened, we need peace. And so it's vital that people like us, people who are in church on a Sunday morning, may recall the God who has created this world and has sent his Son into it to claim it with his love. And so this is what we need right now. We need to be together. We need the peace of God. We need a world experiencing God's love, not a fear that there is no way out, because there are ways out for individuals and for people and for a nation. So let us hear about this peace with God. It is my hope and in my prayer that during the month of August, we may consider God's peace, so that we as a congregation and we as a witness for Christ on Gilead Road in Huntersville may be effective in sharing God's compassion and love in all the ways that we are enabled. We turn to Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome. Many believe he is trying to communicate the gospel in such a way that he can build an outpost for future mission. And so, of all his letters that we have, this is the longest, the most elaborate. In chapter 5, he's beginning to talk about the consequences of people being made right with God in Christ. Let us hear God's word together. You're welcome to follow it on the screen as I read here. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we've been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the word of the Lord. You started on the great quest the moment you were born. And it was perhaps many years before you realized, before you became a parent, that you were constantly searching. Searching for something you never had. Searching for something that was more important than life itself. And sometimes you have attempted to lose yourself in other things, in the business at hand, in the business of the day. And sometimes you've been able to dismiss this quest entirely, just write it off. And there may have been moments that you dismissed it altogether, but always you come back to it again. You come back to this search. And you have believed that this quest is a search for God and the abundant life made real in Jesus Christ. And perhaps you've found here at Meadowlake a way to experience God's abundance, the abundant life that is in our mission statement that comes from John 10. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And so this morning we begin a series that aims at helping us try to consider again Jesus' peace. And we come here on this Sunday of all Sundays to experience God's peace. And so we hear the gospel. We have the opportunity to reconsider what God has done for us in Jesus. And we begin with peace that comes from being made right with God. And this morning we're working with three ideas. First of all, we cannot save ourselves. And secondly, we go near to God. I believe that's what we're doing here this morning. We are going near to God. And third, if we do not have faith, we seek it with everything we have. And so let us start with this first idea. First of all, we cannot save ourselves. We cannot make ourselves and this world right. We certainly cannot make ourselves right with God, but we try. Sometimes we try to do things to make the world as we think it should be. Regrettably, this young man in El Paso thought he was doing the world a favor by killing shoppers in a Walmart. And some have said he was worried about all the Latino and Hispanic voters influencing the next election. In his misguided way, he was trying to make the world better by doing what he did, killing people who might vote for the wrong candidates. People have crazy ideas. At some time, we all have crazy ideas. Some are into evaluating everybody. Some people criticize everybody. And such criticism is aimed at making them feel empowered and right. Recently, I read, we cannot live a positive life with negative ideas. None of us can live a positive life with negative ideas in our heads. And so it makes no sense to try and build ourselves up by putting other people down. It doesn't work that way. Some try to justify themselves simply by being good, not like Mother Teresa or Billy Graham, just good in their own way by helping Terry Karam or Harry McKinnon or Angela Parker, or by giving to World Vision or by giving to Samaritan's Purse. Though it's a wonderful thing to give and support the ministries of our church, we do not justify ourselves in God's sight by the good we do. Doesn't work that way. We cannot save ourselves. We need God's help to do that. And so if our first idea is we cannot justify ourselves, then our second idea is so those of us who believe, we go near to God. Those of us who don't believe, we go near to God, and we come to church, and hopefully we have the opportunity in church, in worship, before God to admit the truth about ourselves and about what we know. We admit the truth before God. Sin is still sin, and wrong is still wrong, and our consciences tell us that. And so we change our minds. That is, we are called to repent about the wrong that we do. We turn around. We ask God's forgiveness. And then we pay attention to God's word, and we hear this truth. But God proves his love for us in that while still we were sinners, Christ died for us long before you and I ever decided to come to church. God was at work in Christ on our behalf. Long before any of us were ever born, Jesus gave his life for your sin and mine. And so we worship God, being grateful for what God has done for us. And it is not what we do for God, but what God has done for us that moves us to worship. It is not what we give to God, but what we receive that makes us somebody. True believers, true worshipers. And the good news is, we are justified in Christ, not because we love God, but because God loves us. The good news is not that God helps those who help themselves. God is for those who cannot help themselves. The good news is not that we are saved because we believe. We're not saved because we believe. We believe because we are being saved. There's an important distinction there. Sometimes in Protestant churches, we think the only thing we have to do is believe and we'll be saved. We've misunderstood it. God is saving us, and that's a sign that we have the opportunity to believe and put our faith in God. Paul writes in this letter to the church in Rome about Jews who try to think that obeying the Jewish law can make them righteous. Truth is, no one can obey the law without God's help in Jesus Christ. All of us fall far short of obeying any law. So we're working on three ideas. We said, first, we cannot save ourselves. And we said, second, we go near to God. This morning, for some reason, and it's a mixture of things, you've allowed yourself to be numbered among these who worship. And we come admitting the truth. We come hearing the wisdom of God. We come trying to discern how we might live. We come being claimed by God. And hopefully we feel in different ways as we allow these ushers and greeters to welcome us, as we see old friends, as we come in the mix of these people, we feel and experience the love of God. In recent days, I've started paying attention to how often all of us, in talking to someone we know on the phone, the last thing we say, love you. How often it happens, I love you. We all are shaped by our awareness of being loved. One of the most important reasons for us to come and be part of the church is that we hear of and experience in different ways, in having the praise team lead us in worship, in encountering one another, we experience the love of God. Baptism is about loving God. Receiving communion is about knowing God loves us. And encountering God's presence in this place with these people, with one another, we are saying, like we say on the phone, love you. And God is saying that to us. Love you. I love you. It's important that we replace those negative ideas and thoughts with an awareness that God loves us and God claims us, especially now. God's always been doing that, never stopped it. But especially now, it's important that we hear these things. If we do not have faith, then we pray the prayer that the father with the epileptic child prayed. You remember that story? He came to Jesus, and Jesus was up on a mountain praying, and so he asked the disciples for help. And they couldn't heal the child, He threw himself into the fire. But Jesus showed up and Jesus healed him. And Jesus asked the Father, "Do you believe I can heal your child?" And he said to Jesus, "I believe. Help my unbelief." That's a prayer that all of us need to pray from time to time. Sometimes we don't believe as we ought. And so if we do not have the faith that we think we should, then let's pray this prayer. "I believe, Lord. I want to believe. Help my unbelief." If we do not have faith, we put ourselves in places where we experience God's love. And knowing the love of someone we hold dear is critical to us all. And finally, if we do not have faith, we risk beginning to do what faith requires. So if we value this faith in Christ and in God, if we value the faith and hope and love and peace, then it's important that we be willing to set our old ways behind and look to God and seek to begin trying to do what we believe is right and good. Already in this church, we have leaders, Angela and Alice are leading a group going on Thursday afternoons to the nursing home to be with these wonderful people. Harry is leading us in countless ways, along with Terry Karam, reaching out to the homeless population. Terry is reaching out to people who want to learn how to read. And as a congregation, we're engaged. All of these efforts is a way to enable us as a congregation to begin doing what Jesus said, to share God's love and share his compassion. If we want to receive the gift of assurance of God's love, you and I must be willing to enter into the life of faith and do what faith requires. Faith is a gift, and God is the giver. And too often we church people think we came up with faith on our own. No, that didn't happen that way. Today in America, you and I need something beyond ourselves. We need God's peace. And when we refuse to justify ourselves, and when we put ourselves near to God, and when we seek faith and seek to do what we believe is right and good and true, Paul promises that the byproduct is peace with God, through whom we've obtained access to this grace in which we stand. The byproduct is peace that we cannot explain or find or discover in any other way. And so when we know God makes us right, when we know God's forgiveness, when we know Jesus dies for us while we are sinners, when we know God knows that we're here, we have peace with God. And God has made things right, and we have peace with God. And that's what we need this day. In your life, and in your marriage, and in your family, and in your home, and in your work, and in our world, that's what we all need this day. Let us pray.